It is so good to be with you this morning. It brings to me a tremendous amount of memories. I'm a little older than most of you, and I remember coming over as a child and a teenager on the Crystal Beach boat and landing right out there and the family spending their vacations here. It is just a wonderful place to be, and this is one of the most beautiful places in the world, and I'd love to see you here. What a great idea this is. This morning, I'm going to be a little different than just doing a sermon. I want to talk to you about you. I want to talk to you about who God made you, and specifically about your destiny. Now, a number of months ago, and I was coming near the age when I was going to retire and didn't know exactly what I was going to do when I retired. I'm more busy now than I was before, traveling all over the world right now. But I sat down one day and said, what would I like to say to the world before I die? And what I want to say to you is what I'd like to say to the world. And that's simply this, one sentence sums it up. Every single one of you sitting before me, young or old, has a divine destiny. God has a purpose for your life. You may be 70 years of age and you've never discovered it, but I hope in the few words that I say this morning that I can make you believe it, and someday, and I hope it's right now, you will discover what your destiny is. The second thing that I believe is that God has a language through which He communicates your destiny. The language through which God communicates a person's destiny, their reason for being, is simply this, through something we call dreams. And so I sat down and wrote this book that's simply called How to Live Out of a Dream. The cover is a couple of crutches and an old open door, and it says how an 8-year-old crippled boy walks through an open door into God's dream. So let's talk about that for a moment. What is God's dream for your life? I'm a dreamer by nature. I was created to be a dreamer. All of you are dreamers. Every single person here sitting on this beach this morning has a dream inside of them. Most of you know what it is. Many of you do not know what it is. I'd like to help you discover it this morning. My life began in two ways. I was a stutterer, and I dreamed of being a preacher. How can you be a preacher when you can't get words out of your mouth? Number two, I was a cripple. I had polio, and I couldn't walk. And one day I was laying in a bed, unable to walk, and as I lay there on that bed, I heard a voice come inside of me. My parents were Christians. They believed that God could heal me. But nobody really thought that was possible. All of a sudden, I heard this voice inside of me, and it said, today, I'm going to heal you. I had no idea what that meant. The only thing I knew was tell my mom to go to the telephone and call the preacher and ask him to come and pray for me. She called our preacher. I lived in South Wales, New York. My dad was working at the Gow School at the time. She called the preacher, and he was in Buffalo making some hospital calls, and he said, I can't come today. And as she walked back into the room and told me that news, all of a sudden I said to myself, I knew I couldn't be healed. And then I said, but I feel that I can, because I have a dream. I have a dream that I can't do, I can't fulfill, if I don't have a healing in my body. And as she walked out of the room, all of a sudden I heard the words of Jesus come to me again, and they said, simply this, Tommy, the pastor's not here, but I'm here, and I'm the one that's going to heal you. And I pushed myself up on the side of the bed. It was an old Roycroft bed, My dad had been the chef at the Roycroft, and so all of our house was furnished with Roycroft furniture and my folks bought it when the Roycroft went bankrupt in 1938. And I pushed myself to and I said, well, if I'm going to walk, I'm going to have to take the first step. Now, what makes this story so real to me is the movie producers decide to make a movie of my life. And they did make a movie called How to Live Out of a Dream, and it won 5 Dove Awards. And I watched as the actors reenacted the scene of my healing. And I stood at the very porch where I took my first steps. I watched the old antique cars as they came down Emery Road in South Wales, New York. And the little boy who played me began to walk. And as I stood there at the very site where I was healed, the memories cascaded over my mind. And I realized that two things happened in my life. Number one, God said to me, today I'm going to heal you. Number two, God said something else through my actions, because I knew I couldn't walk if I didn't take his hand. I reached out, and somehow by faith, I envisioned Jesus standing there, and I took his hand, and I took my first steps. The movie depicts my coming back downstairs, and my mother looks at me, and she has a pan full of milk in her hands, and I've always loved milk, and I wanted a glass of milk to drink, and as I walked into the kitchen where she was, she looked at me and said, Tommy, why are you walking? And I said, well, Jesus just healed me. Well, that's my story. Two things I learned. Number one, you can hear his voice and you can take his hand and he can lead you. Well, through that, I learned something else. I learned that the language through which God speaks our purpose in life is through visions and dreams. And then I began to have a dream. I would go to the altar of the little church where I attended on Elm Street in East Aurora, New York. And as I would attend that church, I would go to the altar on Sunday night. In those days, we had altar services. And I would kneel at the altar, and I would have this vision, I guess a vision or a dream or something. The church I attended was extremely small, very, very small, about 40 people or less. Sunday night, we'd have maybe 10 or 12 people. And when I would, at that altar, all of a sudden I would begin to dream, and I would see a large church, and I would see it filled with people, and I'd see them singing, and I would see myself standing in the pulpit, and I would live in two worlds. Because sometimes there's a conflict between the dreams inside of you and the world around you. Did you ever think of Henry Ford? Henry Ford had a dream. His dream was to put America on wheels and put a motor car in every single home in America. It was impossible. There were no roads. There were no gas stations. There were no places to repair the cars. And besides, cars were extremely expensive and nobody could afford them. At least the average man could not afford them. But inside of Henry Ford was a different world than the world around him. That's what I found at that altar. The world around me was a small church. The world around me was Christianity in its infancy, and the world inside of me was touching a city for God and reaching a world for Jesus Christ. That's true with all of us, because inside of you, God has put a dream. Now, when did the dream come from? Well, let me tell you something about your dream. Do you know when it was written? Do you know when your destiny was written? There's a number of scriptures I'd like to call your attention to. First of all, Revelation chapter 17 says our names, which means our destiny, our story, was written in God's book of life before the foundation of the world. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4. Our works, everything that God planned you to do. That's all right. Thank you. Everything that God planned you to do was written or finished before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are his workmanship, and our works were prepared before the foundation of the world. That means that before God made a rock, before he made the sand, before he made Lake Erie, before he made the sun, before he made the moon, he wrote the story and the destiny of your life. That's amazing. Moses discovered that. Moses stands at the Red Sea. His destiny is to get to the other side of the Red Sea, to a land called Palestine. That was the land God had given him. But between he and Palestine stood the Red Sea. But since his dream, his purpose, his destiny was written before the world began, his destiny was greater than nature itself. It was made before the rock. It was made before the Red Sea. So the Red Sea rolls back. Joshua's destiny is to take cities for God. There's a city called Ai, and they were going to lose the battle if the sun went down. So Joshua somehow realized this truth, that his destiny was written before the foundation of the world, and he turns around and commands the sun to stand still. Do you realize the most important thing in the world to you is your destiny? And God wrote your destiny before the foundation of the world. Now, my question is, how do you find that? How do you discover what your destiny is? Your destiny was written by God before the foundation of the world. We've said that 100 times this morning. And if it was, how do I find it out? Well, I found it out that day God healed me. Because if I was going to be a preacher, my stuttering would have to leave. If I was going to be a preacher, then I was going to have to walk, in my estimation. Those obstacles were less than my destiny. Now, how did I discover it? Well, two ways. Abraham had a destiny. The Bible says that God came to him and said, I'm going to give you a family. You're too old to have a family, but I'm going to give you a family. I'm going to give you a son. He's going to have children. He's going to have children. And I'm going to give you a land. It was impossible in the natural, but his destiny was greater than nature itself. And because it was, God worked miracle after miracle and gave him a destiny. After God said, I'm going to give you children, he went down and he picked up the sand in his hand. And he looked at the sand and he picked it up and he began to count. Did you ever count the kernels of sand? That's the number of my children, the sand of the sea. He looked at the stars of heaven. He was enough of an astronomer to realize there were millions of them, and he said, that's the number of my children. I remember many years ago, I was on Maui with Robert Schuller. And one day we went out, and there was an old, in back of the Baldwin estate, there was an old, knotty, old frame platform like that, and a little pulpit at the center of it, and Robert had just built the Crystal Cathedral, and he stood there in the open air, and he threw up his hands, and he said, this is the greatest cathedral in the world. And I said, here's the man that built a $100 million cathedral. He said, this, where we are today, under the sun, is the greatest cathedral in the world. Well, that's where Abraham went, to the cathedral of God. I've always driven a convertible because I like the top down, because you can somehow see the sun and feel the stars. You can get communication from God. The second thing, Abraham built an altar. The altar where God gave me my dreams was a little altar of an Assemblies of God church in East Aurora, New York, where every Sunday night God would speak to me about my future. Now, every one of you, no matter how old you are, you can be 80 years of age. You may have never discovered your destiny. Maybe your destiny is to have a family and raise great children. Maybe your destiny is to, like me, to be a preacher. Maybe your destiny is to be a businessman. I don't know what your destiny is, but that destiny is there. And there's a way that God can speak to your heart about your destiny. Now, you say to me, well, Pastor, you know, I'm 80 years of age. Well, so am I, okay? I'll be 82 this year. And I discovered my destiny when I was young. But if I hadn't, you can always discover it. I have a book in my hand that's personally autographed to me by a man by the name of Charles Luckman. Now, I don't know whether you've ever heard of Charles Luckman's story, but let me, in the closing part of these remarks, tell you Charles Luckman's story. Charles Luckman was the president one day of Lever Brothers. When he was a young man, he was a shoeshine boy at the Muehlbach Hotel in Kansas City, Missouri, and shined shoes for a living. And he had a dream because in the 1920s, all around him, buildings were going up, and he dreamed of building, and he dreamed of designing buildings, and he dreamed of building buildings. And as he shined shoes, he began to save his money, saved up enough money to go to college and become with an architectural degree. He graduated in about 1930, right in the middle of the Depression, and there was no jobs for architects. So he had to find a job. He found a job as a salesman for Pepsodent toothpaste, memorized the name of almost every pharmacist in America, and began to call them, "Are you selling my toothpaste?" and made Pepsodent the best-selling toothpaste in the world. Finally, Pepsodent became so famous because of his phenomenal sales ability that they made him president. And then he designed the purchase of Lever Brothers, and then he became president of Lever Brothers. Time magazine called him the most successful businessman in America. In fact, they called him the wonder boy of business, but he had a dream. His dream was not to sell toothpaste and build Lever Brothers. His dream was to be an architect. After 50 years of not doing his dream, he resigned as the president of Lever Brothers and went back to architecture. He became an architect. Let me read you about Charles Luckman. The Luckman firm became one of the largest architectural firms in the world. He built such landmarks as Madison Square Garden, Boston's Prudential Center. He built the Mission Control in Houston. And 50 years after his original dream, he stood at Mission Control in Houston, where he had built 49 buildings, and realized he fulfilled his dream. I treasure his signature because he was a man, 50 years after he had the dream, that finally made it come true. Can I close this morning by telling you that every single one of you, that's what our faith in Jesus Christ is all about. It's not just about Christ. It is about Christ. It is about salvation. It is about heaven. But it's also about us. It's the fact that God has a dream and a purpose for every single one of your lives. And I've got a passion. My passion, I'm going all over America, and I'm saying to people, this one thing, that God has a reason for your being on this planet. I don't know what that reason is. A number of years ago, a friend of mine by the name of Michael Cardone went to his basement. He was living in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He was the son of a miner and destined to be in the mines himself, and took an old carburetor and, first of all, a windshield washer motor, and took it down in his basement, and along with a friend, rebuilt the wiper and had an idea that he could rebuild windshield wipers and carburetors and parts for automobiles. I stood with him a number of years ago at the helm of his 67-foot Hatteras, a man with now 8,000 employees that took a rebuilt windshield washer motor and made it into the largest firm rebuilding automobile parts in the world. I stood by a man the other day, a few years ago, that just came out of prison. And he said, "Why did you come to me?" He had been very, very famous. I won't give his name. You'd all know him. So why did you come to me after prison? And I said, "Because I saw the dream in your eyes. And prison, even prison, can't put out a dream. God has a purpose for every one of your lives written before the foundation of the world.
And if you do what Abraham did, take your dream out in the open to God. Say, God, how am I going to do it? How am I going to fulfill what's inside of me? How am I going to find my destiny? How am I going to find my purpose? And I guarantee you, all of life can be different because of faith. Because faith not only takes you to heaven, it will do that. Faith not only makes you right with God and forgives your sin because of Jesus Christ, but faith takes our personhood and makes us fulfill our purpose. Can we pray? Our Father, I thank you that for every single one of us sitting on this beach this morning, that we are a person of purpose. Help us. Help us, we pray, to find our purpose. I pray for every single one that's in this audience this morning sitting on this beach, that they will look deep inside of them and remember that they're very special to God. And because they're special, God has a reason for them to be here. In our book, I published it myself because I knew I could. I'm selling thousands and thousands of copies of it without it being in bookstores because simply I didn't want, the publisher wanted to do it. Several publishers wanted to do it, but I said, I want to keep it. And I want to put a workbook in it. And in some of those chapters where I tell you some of the things that I've told you this morning, here's my first questions. As you think carefully about your life as a child, try to remember the dreams you had. I'd suggest that this dream would probably have come to you between the 7th and 10th year of your life. Separate your childhood fantasies and recall the dream and write it here. If you do that, what did you think about when you were 7 or 8? What did God put inside of you? Second question. What did you do with that dream? Did you believe it? Did you ignore it? Or did you pursue it? My friend Michael Cardone pursued his. If that childhood dream was for my life, and I didn't pursue it, and like Charles Luckman, maybe it's time for me to pursue what's inside of me. What actions would I take? Then I ask you to think about, when was your destiny written? At your birth? When you were conceived by your parents? When God created the world? Or before creation? Put words in your mouth. Put it down on paper. What are you going to do with your dream? I want to just close by saying, I believe in you. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I believe in you. I believe that every single one of you is extremely important to God. Extremely important to God. As I stood in the helm of that great big yacht, this little tiny man that had a dream, and I watched him give away millions and millions and millions of dollars for the gospel. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if every single person here on this beach this morning would be like Billy Graham or Michael Cardone or whoever found their dream and pursued it? I wonder how the world could be changed if everyone on this beach this morning would find out what God has put in their heart and would be willing to pursue it. Or last of all, you say, Tommy, I'm 70 years of age. I'm 80 years of age. When I was 75, I wrote this, and I have it posted in my wall. I want to do more in the next 10 years of my life than I did in the last 75. I believe that. And I believe that if I could just change your life to let you know that Jesus Christ has a purpose for you, and you could change the world. God bless you. By the way, I'm not trying to sell books, but if you think that thing can help you, if you want one, I'll give you one. If not, the video and both of them are $10 a piece. But what I'd like you to do is just, I'd like to teach you to be a dreamer. I can't do it in 20 minutes this morning, but I hope maybe that can help you. God bless you, and thank you, and give your own dreams a great big hand, will you?